Think like the sons of thunder. Control your thoughts. Yahweh gives us freedom of will, but it's up to us how we what we're thinking about it. A neat thing with Dad, with all these memorizing the scriptures. You know what my complaint is now? I'm so busy going through my scriptures that I don't have time to listen to the radio. It's a good problem to have. Yeah. Okay, what are we doing with our thoughts? Are we worrying? Caden gave me a prophecy. I went and read through some last night. He's 9 years old. He said, don't worry about the future. Create a good future.
Well, that's neat.
And so something else. Then Malai and I were driving home last night talking about prophecies. They're not even prophecies. They're about Yahweh working things. You know what? You're not outworking him.
Yeah.
He's doing all the work. You ever see that Thanksgiving? We're going to have it here. The girl lays me doing all the work. They go, did you mind if you have it here? I go, you girls can have Thanksgiving anywhere you want. It'll bless me to have it here. But if it makes your job easier. So they think about it. We're not going to outwork Yahweh in Christ. Christ is at the right hand. He's running everything. Going to go, okay. So, you know, and Melania and I were talking and about certain things, and I was going back to explain to Melania, and I've shared part of this one testimony. I'm just going to kind of go into this introduction. I listened to Andrew Womack in my car. Here's Andrew Womack walking on water, raising the dead. The best of Andrew Womack. Thankfully, Dad filters out and just gives you the best of. And then there's also Word of Promise to dramatize. Here's Abraham. Here's Jim Caviezel's Jesus Christ. And now even when I read scriptures, I can hear Jim Caviezel's voice as I'm reading it. Or I'll go to read Moses and I can hear Richard Dreyfuss's voice as I'm reading it. Isn't that neat?
Yeah.
It encodes it, but thanks to Dad finding Word of Promise, I have that. But it goes from Andrew Womack, that's just kind of as a nice introduction. Then you got somebody just talking. But I was dropped off Caban. Driving back from Emporia, it was in May, I believe, and I was listening to Walking on Water, I believe, Andrew Womack, and all of a sudden I got a hunch, started from the very beginning, because a lot of time I'm daydreaming when I'm listening to teachings anyways, right? So I started from the very beginning, and started off, it says, and Jesus Christ says, greater works than you shall do, because you shall do these works, and greater works than I send to my Father. I'm like, man, I've been thinking, that's a scripture I need to memorize. I wonder where that is. And he goes, it's John 14:12. I went, all right, that just saved me a little. And then the Andrew Womack teaching stopped it and went into a perfect splice of Jim Caviezel on Word of Promise. These works that I do, you shall do also, greater works. But this is all the drama of Word of Promise and the theatrics. And greater works, because I ascend to my Father. I turn off the thing and went, whoa, and I went, man, my dad's the best ever. He must have spliced it. That was perfect. And I'm thinking, then I'm also thinking, unless something just happened. Maybe, maybe not. I was afraid to start and find out, because sometimes I get excited. I have a tendency to give Yahweh more credit on some things. But anyway, I was telling Melania this. And then I turned the teaching back on the MP3 player. It's either going to go back to Andrew Womack, or it's going to continue the Word of Promise, right? It could have just MP3 players don't skip like a CD, but it could have been. Also what was on my mind was using your imagination, about using our imagination more. I was really working on that the whole week. When I turn my stereo back on, do you know what it goes to? Me giving a prophecy on one of the teachings that put on there. And the prophecy says, I've given you an imagination. Are you using it to prepare the future that I desire for you? And I'm sitting there going, oh my goodness! You know, then I stopped and you go, it could have been. This is one of those moments. Everybody wants Nathaniel under the fig tree, one of these big things. It could have been. So I was like, well, I got to call my dad. Maybe he... And I told Dad, there was a neat thing with Dad's response. And I was telling Melania this last night. And Dad's response was, I didn't do it, but you need to write it down. And so while I was telling Melania, we got to write these things down, is because I was reading George Mueller's books and these books that Dad gives me. And had he not written down these testimonies, the power of the mighty work that Yahweh Christ did, these people would have been dead. It's gone. If they wrote it down, so then I don't like to write. I like to talk. I don't like to write. So I was telling Melania about that. Write your thing down. Write this first prophecy. Write these things down. And becomes a good steward of mighty works in Yahweh's life. Good. Because that's good advertising, just like your thing. You write it down or whatever. But anyways, the neat thing of what happened about that night And I was telling Melania, it's because I was writing things down as I went to this journal writing. It's neat if you guys ever get to read it, my sloppy handwriting, because some of it's pretty eloquent. Can't take credit for it. But y'all started seeing them all tying together. I didn't know it. Do you know what that night happened that night? I got down. I got so excited before I went to go write it down. I went to my backyard of my house over in Yosemite. I got on my knees and went, man, I don't know if this what it means or what it doesn't mean, but thank you. Thank you. And I'm going to write it down, just like my dad said. You know what he told me to do? Sell your house. I was listening to Walking on Water, using your imagination, being obedient, greater works. And you know what? Do you know what Yahweh is preparing me to do? You're sitting in it. How about a house on faith? This is the house. And I'm going to go. Here's walking
and
on
Melania
water.
Melania was the one who told you that this house was for sale. Yeah. It was even for sale.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so she did. So you're going to go and you look at these things and testimonies. Thinking. Control your thinking. Don't think about your problems. Don't think about your current situation. It's stinking thinking. Think about your God. Abraham, look at the stars. Don't look at your circumstances. Don't look at Sarah. Don't look how old you are. Look at my word. The word was written in the stars. Wow, look at that. What about him? What about him? Peter, do you love me? I think about when Peter, it was... Right, Peter, are you going to rise up? Are you going to rise up, Peter? Did it look like Peter's getting picked on?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you love me? Oh, God, just stop. Don't you know what I've been through? Do you love me? Do what I told you to do. You got what it takes, Peter. Later on, the gate beautiful. All the wonderful things. He's going to feel like you're going to feel like he's picking on you. But you know who's telling you he's picking on you?
Your natural man.
Your enemy. That is controlling your thoughts a lot of the time. Luke chapter 9, verse 51. This is page 69. And I've gotten I'm learning controlling my thoughts more and more. And it used to be that a thought would come out of nowhere, and then you know what happened? This thought that I was minding my own business, and then a thought came in like somebody threw a piece of Play-Doh in my memory and it sticks. I'm like, where did it come from? And then I would go through this, I feel so guilty. Where did that come from? And then I start analyzing the thought, well, why did I think that? Well, let's really figure out. You know what? Get it out! Yeah. It's not my thoughts. I reject that in the name of Jesus Christ. You don't analyze it. It's your old man or something else. I don't need to know where it's coming from. I've been encouraging Rachel and anybody who that are looking into therapists and stuff. Don't do it! Looking into your path. Why do you think this? Why do you think this happened? Why do you think you were molded this way? And in my opinion, you're giving ground to your old man stinking thinking. And that whatever your feed is going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And the people that usually, with the exception of Dr. Dobson, usually the people with the most problems up here are the ones that analyze their old man all the time. Why do you think this? Why don't you just go interview Bin Laden? You know, you're not going to get anything good out of it. But Luke chapter 9, verse 51. We're going to look at thinking like the sons of thunder. Would somebody please read 51 through 54?
And it came to pass, when the days for taking him up were on the point of being fulfilled, even he himself set his face to be journeying unto Jerusalem. And he sent messengers before his face. Taking their journey, they entered into a village of Samaritans, so as to prepare for him. And they welcomed him not, because his face was for journeying unto Jerusalem. And the disciples James and John, seeing it, said, Lord, wilt thou that we bid fire come down from heaven and destroy them?
Pause right there. Who thinks like that? They reject Jesus Christ, because they find out Jesus Christ is passing through. And what do they say? You want us to wipe out this town? Like Sodom and Gomorrah was wiped out. Like Elijah in the 50. If I'm a man of Elohim, let fire come down and consume the 50. Like Aaron's sons who brought strange fire into Yahweh. Who thinks that way? Would you naturally think something like that when you're at church or something? Assertive thinking. People that are using their imagination to work for Yahweh in Christ. Not waiting for something to just happen, but they go, I gotta start changing my thinking to be preparing myself for what's coming. And you can imagine with James and John, with these guys, they do get rebuked, but at least they're thinking.
Yeah.
They're thinking the right way. It's okay to get rebuked. If your heart's in the right spot, Yahweh rebukes us all the time. It says the son who he loves is going to correct, right? Mm-hmm. It's okay to be corrected if your heart is right. But Peter, James and John, if they're thinking about the day of revelation coming and war coming, hey, we got to get busy. We're not like, hey, we're just going to follow this guy, tell me what to do and what not to do. No, assertive thinking, using your imagination. What are you doing with your imagination? These guys, their imagination ready to go. Mark chapter 10. But the thing is, who thinks like that? Nobody thinks like that. Unless they're going into character. That is assertive thinking. That's somebody that's going to grab their thoughts and they're going to go, you are going to think these things. What's going to happen? Well, man, there's going to be a war. There's going to be other stuff. Well, who are we with? Here's fire coming down. As you can imagine, James and John talking to each other. Hey, we got to get serious. And this is not the way to blend in. We don't got time to blend in. Yeah. I was talking to Melania about the Noah's Ark. I said, that would have been like living in a spook house. You know how evil the whole earth was?
Yeah.
All you had was Noah and these eight people. Right? You get to go. It's all about quality anyways. Chapter 10, verse 35. This is a great one. 35 through 41. If somebody read that, please.
35. Okay. The request of Zebedee's sons. Through 40?
Yeah.
And there came up near unto him James and John, the two sons of Zebedee, saying unto him, Teacher, we desire that thou, whatsoever we shall ask thee, thou wilt do for us. But he said unto them, What desire ye I should do for you? And they said unto him, Grant us that on the right hand and on the left we may sit in thy glory. But Yahushua said unto them, You know not what you are asking. Are you able to drink of the cup that I am about to drink, that I am to drink, or to be immersed with the immersion wherewith I am to be immersed? And they said unto him, We are able. And Yehoshua said unto them, The cup which I am to drink, ye shall drink. And of the immersion wherewith I am to be immersed, shall ye be immersed. But to sit on the right hand and on the left is not mine to give, except unto them for whom it hath been prepared.
Did he rebuke him? No.
No.
Who thinks that way? How are you thinking? Are you thinking about stuff like this? I love this one here. For this is Jesus Christ sleeping. They're waking him up. Don't you know we're going to die? I've never seen anything that dramatic. We have those things going on in our mind every single day. It's just how are you controlling your thinking? Controlling your thinking. But who thinks that way? We want you to give us whatever we ask. But you know what I believe? And I believe I just got a revelation on this. I bet you James and John both had a response. Why you two? I bet you they did. And I bet you they're going to go, because I will be your right hand man, or I'll be your right hand man. I'll do whatever it takes. You're going to need this. You're going to need this. You're going to need this. And I bet you James and John already had a whole list why they needed to be it. It'd be like going to Donald Trump. I want to run your West Branch. Why? Because I can do this, and there's somebody going. You don't go to Jesus Christ with a request like this without preparation, in my opinion. Yeah, Jesus Christ, if they would have been, I don't know, because I don't want to be the last, mm-hmm. I think he would have rebuked them. And later on, he's going to say, who wants to be first, serve the most? But I bet you it's because those two right there, they wanted to serve the most, is my opinion. Because they would have been rebuked. You keep reading on, he's going to talk about this. He did rebuke them. He goes, but it's not up to me. James and John wanted to serve more than anybody. Not to be exalted. And otherwise, I'm going to reprove. But who thinks that way? How are you thinking? And are you thinking this way? About how are you going to serve Yahweh? How are you going to walk on water? How are you going to do some things? And if you're not, it's okay. But one of the big things is sometimes we can be apathetic. I'm okay living at the bottom. I'm okay being in the last of the line as long as I'm in paradise. In this life, you will have trouble. Christ knows you're going to be going through hurricanes, tornadoes, cancers, all kinds of things. He's trying to prepare us for those things. You can see it with kids, right? I'm looking at Caven going, dude. And I'm learning how tough it is to be a parent. you're going to learn some tough lessons if you don't get this right. They're going to go, and I remember that even in school, I wasn't until I was a junior in high school that Yahweh gave me a lecture. He goes, Aaron, you plan on going to college? Yeah. You better start learning, dude. You're getting C's in public education. But in our lives, what is he preparing you for? You have no idea. We just know it's great. How are you thinking? Matthew chapter 20, that'd be page 22. And Jesus Christ, Yehoshua, says, I only say what my Father tells me to say, right? I only do what my Father tells me to do. Yehoshua names them the sons of thunder. Mm-hmm. Who else gets a nickname like that?
That's cool, isn't it?
These two guys were thinking about serving, about the end times, about what's going to happen. This guy's going to lay his life down for us or whatever, and we want to be there. And it could have been that we don't know, it could have been that they don't know if they can trust the rest of the people there. James and John, it's just you and I. Can you relate to that, Dad, right now? There's no way left.
Yeah.
If nobody else picks up this man, it's got to be us. Okay, then here's what we're going to do. And that's good thinking. Preparing and preparing and preparing. Matthew chapter 20, verse 20 through 24. Hey, Malin, did you read that?
Yeah, one second.
Okay. Or whoever's there.
Okay, got it.
Okay.
And then came up unto him the mother of the sons of Zebedee, with her sons, bowing down and asking something from him. And he said unto her, What desireth thou? And she said unto him, Bid that these two, my sons, may sit one on thy right hand and one on thy left, and in thy kingdom. But Yahushua answering said, Ye know not what ye are asking. Are ye able to drink of the cup which I am about to drink? And they said unto him, We are able.
Yes, sir. We are able. Okay, go ahead, keep reading.
He saith unto them.
Well, we'll keep reading. He's going to say, You are able. You're right. That looks like a trick question. Are you guys able to do this? They go, Yes. And if you keep reading at the very bottom of it, let's see here, that the other disciples did not like. This did not go over well with the other 10. Who's in that other 10? I'll give you a hint. He cut somebody's ear off.
Peter.
You think you're going to beat me, James and John? Andrew, get over here. Come here. Andrew, I got to talk to you. James and John, they ain't beating me. It's going to be competitive for the right reasons, but here it is. You can ask that. Who thinks that? Well, here's James and John like, Mom, we can ask him ourselves. That's the type of mom you should be. Mm-hmm. That's the type of mom you should want to be. That's the type of parents we should be. And Yahweh put this in print for you and I. Who thinks that way? Nobody thinks that way. That takes effort. We look at people like and go to the people, the bodybuilders in the gym. How do you do this? They're going to go, Are you kidding me? No one. One of the biggest pet peeves in the gym for people that are in the gym a lot is that people who don't like to work out, they come in and go, Yeah, you know, I'm going to start working out, but you know, I don't want to get too big. And the bodybuilder's like, Yeah, because you know what? I've worked out one time and boom, all of a sudden I'm just like Arnold, you know. It happens like that. It doesn't happen like that. You don't get too big. You don't get gigantic. Now girls can get little, girls want to be petite, but people will say that, and you know what? You don't start thinking like a bodybuilder if you don't start exercising and start preparing yourself. This is your life. You owe it to him. Your thoughts belong to him. Your imagination belongs to him. How are you using it? Are you always imagining the grass being greener on another side? Tick, tock, tick, tock, tick, tock. I was praying with Rachel, and I was like, I could see somebody sitting at their cubicle, always imagining a different job, and their boss is watching them on the camera going, Are you kidding me? Okay, but how are you using your imagination? Matthew chapter 14, page 15. These things don't happen by accident. It takes assertive thinking. And people waking up in the morning going, Listen here, I'm looking in the mirror. You will not think those thoughts. I reject those in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus, can you imagine being in your house and Jesus Christ is sitting there and then Cameron comes over and they flip on Skinamax? What would you do to that remote? I would change that thing. You get out. I'm so sorry about that. Excuse me. That's what we're supposed to do with your thoughts. What do you think? Are you worrying? Are you feeling sorry for yourself? What are you doing with it? With his imagination? How often have we thought about walking on water, casting out demons? Melania and I got to see a girl yesterday. She was gorgeous, 16-year-old girl at this coffee shop. And I said, having some fun, Melania. She was talking with a Russian accent. I said, this is my little Russian. She's from Russia. She said, use a Russian accent. So Melania was like, I would like an iced coffee. And she did a better accent. But anyways, we're having fun with this teenage girl. She's going to buy us coffee. And then after she got the coffee, the girl behind the coffee stand started acting a little bit weird. And I noticed she kept doing this with her other hand. She didn't want me to see it. She didn't have a hand. She had little bitty nubs, though. And we're looking, and so then afterwards, because of Dad's leading, I said, if you need any prayer for anything, let us know. She goes, sure. But afterwards, as I was driving, I was talking to Melania, going, we should be ready. Not just for somebody, stretch out your hand. Stretch out your hand. To be able to do it. Well, what if it doesn't work? So it doesn't work. This isn't malpractice, right? We're not going to get sued for this. And then, you know, you might get thrown out, all right. But whatever, we'd be thinking, assertive thinking. And how many people, I had a dream about somebody choking the other day. And I was like, I haven't gone over a Heimlich maneuver for infants or older people in so many years. I think I need to do that. I started thinking about that, but it's assertive thinking. Matthew chapter 14, verse 27. Will somebody please read 27, 28? It's in the middle. Jesus walks upon the lake. Actually,
and straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, take courage, it is I, be not afraid. And making answer, Peter said unto him, Lord, if it's thou, bid me come unto thee upon the waters. And he said, come. And descending from the boat, Peter walked upon the waters.
Peter walked on the water. Who thinks that way? I remember Dad did a teaching a long time ago. He goes, I believe. And Dad goes, nope. And I remember, at least from what I recollect, I'm quoting somebody that's in the room. They're probably just not how I said it. Remember when Dad goes, nobody thinks that way. I'm going to walk on water today. But Dad was like, I bet you, how many times have you missed it? And you missed it again. You're supposed to give that person a prophecy.
I tried walking.
Or you missed this. Okay, that's good. But how many times did you miss? You're supposed to prophesy for somebody. You're supposed to rebuke somebody. You're supposed to say hi or good job. You didn't do it. And then you go, that's it. The next time something pops up, I'm going to do it. I don't care what it is. And I can imagine Peter possibly with his brother Andrew, remember? Remember, they're in the same business with James and John. Going to go, the next thing he does, I'm going to do it. Whether it's this, whether it's that, whether it's this. Can you imagine Peter going, what could it be? Could be fire. It could have been fire coming down to heaven. What else could it be? What, Moses split a Red Sea? Okay, let me split the Red Sea. Here's Peter with a assertive thinking, but he was ready to go. It doesn't just happen like that. Peter was exercising his thinking, his imagination. And he's the only one that walked on water. And then James and John's the only one named Sons of Thunder. And then what if it was your dad or your uncle that was laid at the gate beautiful? What if John and Peter didn't rise up? What if that was your dad? Man, and you got to see that they didn't rise up. Well, it's okay. I really don't need a ministry. I don't need any popularity, or I don't need to be really successful. I'm just happy with where I am. But what if that was your father? And you're like, God, Yahweh can see all of it. But walking on water, who thinks that way? Nobody thinks that way. But people are going, okay. 2 Kings 3:86. But you do. You will start thinking that way because you do have the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2:16. But we have the mind of Christ, right? Okay. And what happens is you have two minds. Alanya was telling me about some Siamese twins.
Evelyn.
Yeah, Evelyn. Go ahead and sing. But she was talking about these Siamese twins that are singers. And I was thinking, going to go, man, how tough would that be? They're 40 or 50 years old. They're still connected. But that's what we already are. We are Siamese twins. We have an old man and a new man. 2 Kings chapter 5 is page 386.
Chapter 5.
It's just, what are you thinking? And do you know what is a good example of not stinking thinking but correct thinking? Is when you sit around and you hear somebody's testimony. Because when we'll be in a car and a testimony comes up and Melania has one. Do you know what happens to me? I start overflowing. I start boiling. I got a testimony. Yeah. And then another person gets a testimony. It's feeding the new man. It's controlling your thoughts. And then all of a sudden it goes, well, why not? And then when you give a testimony, you start witnessing. You're going to go, well, why not? This is what it says. And you start doing these things. What happens to your thinking? Especially when you start teaching and sharing it. What happens to your believing? Yeah. And your thinking. You're going to go, and if it was this, and if it was pulling somebody out of a casket, that's correct thinking. That is love. Because who would pull somebody out of the casket? Man, we should be preparing for those things, but we're going to look at stinking thinking now. Stinking thinking is chapter 5, 2 Kings. There's a guy named Naaman. He's the army of Syria. He has leprosy. A young girl opens her mouth and says, if you went to the prophet in Israel, you'd be healed. Naaman goes to his king. And so then the king, let me see here, verse 5, gets a letter saying, the king of Israel, there's a prophet of Israel for your God that can heal him. So what's this king saying, verse 5? Let somebody read that.
And the king of Syria said, go get in that I may send a letter unto the son, king of Israel. So he went and took his hand, 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. Keep going, 6.
Yeah, we go all the way down to verse 7.
Okay, and he brought in the letter unto the king of Israel, saying, now therefore, when this letter cometh in unto thee, lo, I have sent unto thee Naaman, my servant, and thou shalt set him free from his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, am I Elohim to kill and make alive that this man is sending unto me to set one free from his leprosy? But of a truth, just mark, I pray you, and see that he is seeking an occasion against me.
All of us have that thinking inside your head. When you're told that you can rise up and you can do something great, guess what you do? You're picking on me.
Yeah.
Oh, the victim mentality. Why? Oh, he's looking for a war. He's not thinking about the man of Elohim. He's not thinking about his God. He's not thinking about the guy dying of leprosy. The accuracy, I'm being picked on. Peter thought he was being picked on. I thought I was being picked on. Remember my dad trying to lead me into speaking in tongues interpretation. I felt like I was being picked on. The only way I could get it out is I started yelling it. Because the only way I could figure out how to speak in tongues and interpret is if it's, I gotta force it out. And then I remember dad going, why are you yelling? But I felt like I was being picked on. But you're not being picked on. It's just, that brain, shut up! We don't think that way around here. My imagination does not go, oh me, oh me, oh me. That's Adam. That's a stinky roommate. You shut up. You don't get anything here. I'm stuck with you every day. You stay in a corner. I punch you in the face. And this one guy, I said to you, I reset the guy that first led him to speak in tongues, Mike Hentz. First guy ever led him to speak in tongues. He reached out to me a couple of times. I recorded prophecies and sent them back to him about fight, 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 fight. And I gave him this pep talk, and I said, when you fight your enemies, you don't hit them in the helmet. You hit them where it hurts. And he went, yeah, hit them where it hurts. We're talking about spiritual warfare. And so I told him I needed to pray. He goes, kick Satan in the balls. I'm walking. I'm so, my face is red because I'm stressed out. I'm walking through you because you go get him. You kick Satan right in the ball. I started laughing. And I imagine Satan going, dude, oh, Satan. Because I'm like, yeah. And that's what we do. We fight fire with fire, spiritual warfare. But I'm like, what a great. I started laughing so hard when Mike Hunt sent me that message. That everybody in the hallway thought I was laughing at them. And there's new tenants in our office that kept looking at me. They thought I was making fun of them. Like, all I could think of me kicking Satan right in the nuts. Yeah, you like them apples? Okay, gotta go. But that's thinking. That's correct thinking. You didn't want the adversary fighting. My thoughts don't belong to me. As a husband and wife, your thoughts don't belong to each other either. Your thoughts belong to each other. I'm reading the first 5 years of marriage and learning about, man, this was like a lot of work. But anyways, the stinking thinking was the king of Israel. We all have it. Mm-hmm. It's going to happen. You're going to get dirty laundry. Get rid of it. Don't evaluate dirty laundry. Get rid of it. Then we're going to look down to verse 11. So this is after he runs into the encounter with Elisha. Elisha says, go wash 7 times in the river Jordan. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, Lo, I thought unto me will he come right out and take his stand and call on the name of Yahweh his Elohim and wave his hand towards the spot to set free the leper. What was Naaman doing that the king of Israel was not?
It's in his imagination.
He was using his imagination. He was envisioning healing. And that's what we are to be doing, envisioning walking on water, envisioning calling fire out of the sky. Yahweh, do you want us to call fire out of the sky down on ISIS? How great would that be? Here's ISIS, some of this other stuff going on. Would you like us to do that? How neat would that be? And we call that fire down your adversaries in the name of Jesus Christ. Boom! 2 days later, they got nuked, and nobody knows who nuked them. Well, we know who nuked them. We should be thinking that way, because there are victims, and if there is a victim, it's not you. It's not me. It's not the king of Israel. Yahweh's the victim. He's seeing all the suffering. He's seeing all these things that aren't going. He gave man a freedom of will. And I was listening to Keith Moore, and he goes, why is there wicked in the world? He goes, you take it back to Genesis. In the beginning, everything was good, until Adam and Eve sinned. Okay? Man screwed this all up. Now we got work to clean it up for his sake. And gonna go, okay, he's the victim, but at least Naaman was thinking correctly. And so what is your miracle? You know, a good thing I was witnessing to Melania when we started talking about dreaming big and stuff, and we protect yourself. If it's a big healing or something, right? If it doesn't happen, will you live?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I can live it then, okay. If it doesn't work out, can you handle that? Yeah. Or in my situation, so you can handle that, not success. So let's just talk about it. How would it happen? How would this happen? How would this happen? What would this do? And in my own case, what I noticed when I was trying to explain to Melania, every once in a while I'd go to a subject, and every time I talk about it, I start quivering my lip. And Yahweh was stirring up, going, Aaron, why does your lip quiver on that subject? I wasn't quite sure, and I don't know why, but I know one thing. It's not faith. And what it was to me, every once in a while I'll start talking about something that it was in tune with Yahweh, whether I was going to be a prophecy and something I get emotional doing those things. But when it's something really big and I start crumbling, that is, what do you call that? A symptom. A manifestation of unbelief. We need to go in that room a lot more often.
Yeah.
Why do I get upset talking about this subject? And then we go in and we start using our imagination, go, I'm not scared of this room anymore. I understand if it doesn't work, I can handle that. Alright, what's the worst case scenario? Okay. Remember Dad say that? I die. Okay, I can handle that, right? Okay, what's the best case? Okay, what am I doing to further the kingdom in these areas? And you start, okay. And then we turn to Romans chapter 12. It's amazing with your imagination, with my imagination, that it's not until somebody stimulates thought, and they stimulate thoughts in these areas, you should be thinking this way, that I start doing it. And then what happens when I go, I like to think about like, it's like different rooms in the house. Once I go into that room, you know what happens? Things just start, aromas and thoughts. And I get done, and then I walk out of that room, whether it's a healing or it's a miracle or whatnot, I get done, I go, what just happened in there? And you know what I learn? Yahweh's in those rooms waiting for you and waiting for me. But you gotta go on it. You gotta make an effort.
Yeah.
How are you gonna get this miracle? And he's watching. Okay. How do you raise somebody from the dead? I don't know. How about these other things? Then we go, well, what about your own life? What would you want to do? I don't know if I can handle this. Then you go, okay. Just one step at a time. But start using your imagination, the battlefield of the mind. And the thing that I don't want to forget was raising the dead with Andrew Womack, as he said, he had started thinking about raising the dead. And he started envisioning himself, what would it be like to raise somebody from the dead over and over and over? And he started putting himself in positions. He started exercising that. He didn't know he was going to be raising his son from the dead. Yahweh didn't tell him what was on the line. But he was ready. And we don't know not to be doing things in fear. Yahweh doesn't burden us with that. put yourself there. Raise somebody from the dead. How about, I thought about that as even as I was going through some of these things, exercising my own imagination. What if it was blood and guts everywhere and it was homosexuals? That's diseases everywhere. What would you do? Well, so then I had to go, well, I got to disinfect or something. And so all of a sudden I was like, all right, how would you do that? Just for the first time, I've never done this before, but how would you lay your hands on a bloody homosexual with HIV? Probably wouldn't, unless Yahweh told you to, first of all. But if he told you to, how would you do it? And I was like, all I could think of is as I went into that area of exercising my mind was I would disinfect my whole body through Christ Jesus first. I put on his hazmat suit. Then no weapon, no instrument formed against me would prosper. And I would charge up. And not saying that's necessarily what I would do, but that was the beginning of some sort of thought process. Mm-hmm. And Yahweh's waiting for each one of us. Is it going to be a child choking? Is it going to be an infant? And you think about somebody dies and we never practiced the Heimlich or something. You're going to go, okay. Well, we don't want that, right? Romans chapter 12, verse 2, page 161. I remember even teaching, I didn't want to teach, but when there was a fellowship I went to, it was Rachel and Melania, or Rachel and Dina, and knew what they would do, they'd put on a teaching of John Shanite, and then everybody would walk around and start talking. It was Kevin Mathers and all these hippie kids, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like sitting there going, this is not how you should be doing it, because they put it on, and everybody's kind of hanging out, la, la, la. And I got so irritated, then Dad was like, you should teach. I'm like, I don't want to teach. I'm just trying not to sin. But I had no idea what was going to happen. Can you guys imagine me not teaching?
No.
I couldn't imagine myself teaching. I didn't want to teach. Dad was the one that told me to start playing. The guitar was my own thing. It's what I did by myself. It made me feel good. And Dad goes, you need to start playing for everybody else. I'm like, you're picking on me again. I'm already doing a teaching. I don't know what I'm doing. And here it is. And I remember reading, teachers would be held at a higher standard. I'm like, my dad got me into this. But can you imagine me not saying? Mm-hmm. What's he asking you to do? You're going to miss out. And how many people are going to miss out? Your children, your grandchildren. Start imagining, use that imagination of going, what if? Instead of using your imagination about how wicked and evil and bad it could get, I don't want to ever think about those things until I crawl up into a ball and I quiver and I fall down. It's okay. That happens with all of us. Peter at first said to Peter, Jesus, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. It happens. But then we go back to the subject. Why is it so sensitive? I don't know. Let's go on to this. Let's start confronting these things. Start using that imagination. Go, what if? Just what if it's your shadow that's going to be healing people? And what if it's somebody's kid that's a quadriplegic, crawls out of his wheelchair to walk into your shadow as you're walking down to church, and he gets healed? It's his faith, but it's you walking in obedience, believing that Christ is inside you. He's inside me. He's inside you. It's the temple of the living Elohim. And people being around it, it changes everything. And what if that's you? Can you imagine that night going to bed going, did you see that little kid? All he could do was roll until he got to Tim's shadow. Then he got up and started dancing. Aren't you glad you walked down that aisle? Oh man, thank you Yahweh. Then look at those people that feel like they're being picked on. Peter, the gay beautiful and all the rest of these things. And go, man, there's some work to be done. But you are the temple. We are the nails of the living Elohim. Whether you feel like it or not, if you don't feel like it, if you don't think like it, change your thinking. You get up in the morning, you look in the mirror, you're going down, sister. We're not thinking like that anymore. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. So, it wasn't until I started memorizing scripture, credit to my father again, it is through memorizing scripture, it forces you to focus on one and two words. And you really break it down. Because I'm trying to memorize another syllable. And you start focusing and really looking at this. It says, be not configuring yourself unto this age, but be transforming yourself by the renewing of your mind. To the end, you may be proving what is the thing willed of Yahweh, the good, acceptable, and perfect. When you're going through a crisis situation, Donna, don't you just want to know what God's will is? If I just knew what His will is, I wouldn't be freaking out, right?
Yeah.
Just tell me what your will is. Renew your mind. Your mind's not right. Wendy, freaking out about Rachel. Rachel's situation. What about this? What about this? What about that? What about this? Take a step back. I'm not going to know Yahweh's will if you don't renew your mind. You got to change the channel. I don't think those things. What if I lose? What if I lose? What if I get my heart break? You stop those things. You renew your mind. You want to know what Yahweh's will is? You got to let the new man think. And you turn back to the scripture by the renewing of your mind. Transform yourself by the renewing your mind. Why? To the end, you may be proving what is the thing will of Yahweh. Don't you want to know what Yahweh's will is?
Yes.
You got to change your thinking. Everything's going wrong. Everything's going bad. There's some things that there's some truth to, but then we got to disengage. Going, if I'm becoming impulsive and it's controlled, if I can't sleep at night, then I'm not renewing my mind. And so then you can say the renewing of your mind is going to be how are you controlling your thoughts? Is it about getting on our knees and saying, is there anybody that I can raise from the dead today? How many people can I lead into speaking in tongues? That's just a quick one. Yeah. How many people can you bring to fellowship and you teach and give them a foundation and all the rest of those things? That's the best way to do. Sometimes you're only having 15 minutes. But you can go, how many people can I lead into speaking in tongues? How many demons can I rebuke today? How many car accidents are going to be out there? Somebody's going to die. Send me! How much fire can I call out of the sky today? And you start starting your day off by renewing your mind like that. And can you imagine Yahweh? He said, you stinking. You know what happens when you stink? Flies and stinky things and everything gets bad. We all have that. But when you start thinking, renewing your mind, start using your imagination the way Yahweh intended you to do it, you start smelling like an aroma, sweet smelling fragrance. And like James and John, who said, do you want us to call fire down? He would have probably put his arm around like, guys, you're thinking the right way. But let me redirect you. And he'll meet you there. So think like the sons of thunder. It's not going to happen if you don't exercise it. Start thinking. Think like Peter did. And then think about how many people would not have been blessed if those guys did not raise and start exercising their mind. I'll go ahead and give a prophecy. Father, we thank you for these words, and we thank you for that you can speak to not only these people, my brothers and sisters, but also to me, through me. That as I walk out in faith, you'll give me the words. And then what I will become is I'll be just become the speaker as you speak through me, and I can become the conduit to your word. We thank you that nobody can comfort your children except for you. You're the only one that can raise, give us the peace that rises above every mind, heart, and mind. We thank you for your joy and for your confirmation that through testimonies and through your word, that you are inside of each one of your children saying, amen, amen, you can do it. What do you got to lose? What do you got to lose? And Yahweh is inside you. And he's saying, what do you got to lose? What do you got to lose? Everybody dies unless Christ comes back. Not everybody lives. And if this is the end of you, start using your mind like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, saying, if this is the end of us, what a way to go. We will not bow down to your gods in front of our God who is all-seeing, eye-watching. Use your imagination like Daniel says, if this is it, you get confirmation. Don't do anything foolish. But by being obedient, if this is the end of me, and this is how I'm going to die, well then I'm gonna end my life through obedience and trying to do what's right. And look how they were exalted because they didn't die. Neither will you, because his son came to give you life and life to the full. If you choose to believe, but confront your fears. You have to confront your fears. If you don't confront your fears are gonna infect other people and enslave them.
Thank you.